Titus 2.
But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee.
Praise the Lord, this is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. We'd like to welcome to the program tonight for those who have called in at 646-668. 2636. You press 1 on your keypad, we can bring you into the conversation. And all the brothers that are online, I see you on the switchboard. Those that are listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com. We thank you for listening in again. Amen. Amen. So tonight we're going to be talking about, we're going to do a shifting a little bit. We've been talking about the commandments of Jesus Christ and keeping his commandments. We'll be doing a quick shift here. We're going to talk a little bit about study tools. That every brother needs, what a man needs in his home to study the word of God, to be a man of God, so he can be able to lead in the home, in the church, and in the community, and grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. Because there's something we always say here at Christian Men's Talk, the importance of men's fellowships, time of coming together to meditate on the word, and being in the word, in Bible study. You know, Sunday service is one thing. But weekly Bible studies where we come together, we reason out the word and talk about the word and ask the questions so we have a greater understanding that we might be able to apply the word to our lives, that we can be the church and move from being just attending church. Amen. Well, let me open with prayer, and then we can go right to the conversation. I see the brother again. For the brothers who called in, it's 646, Sad, and we'll see you on the switchboard here. We'll bring you into the conversation. Again, tonight we're talking about what study tools should all men seek to have in their library. Amen? Father God, first we say thank you. We thank you, God, for who you are and what you've done in our lives. We thank you for continuing, God, to watch over us, oh God. Thank you, God, for your salvation. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for our families and our wives and our children, Lord God. We thank you for those who labor in ministry, the pastors, elders, and deacons who serve. And those who serve behind the scene, oh God. Father, we pray for those that are in prisons and locked up today, oh God, sir, that their bodies might be locked up, but their souls can still be saved through your word, through those that you send to their lives to bring light into the darkness. We pray for those who may be in hospital beds and nursing homes, God, that they might be strengthened, they may be healed, Lord God. We pray for families today, God, that might be sitting by the bedside, not knowing what the outcome. We know the diagnosis, God. We know that you are the healer. You are the doctor, Lord God. So let your will be done. Father, we ask again that you continue, God, to watch over every man, every husband, father, and son. Continue to strengthen you, the man of God you call us to be, that we will be leaders in the home and in the church, and that we will fulfill the mission and purpose and plan that you have for our life, that your will be done and that you might be glorified, and that we might stand before you and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. 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 Again, gentlemen, this is Christian Men's Talk. And tonight we're going to be talking about some, I want to lay some seeds and some foundations because, you know, it's about the Word of God. It's also the study of the Word of God because we in this 21st century, in this generation, there's so many tools out there. And just that there's so many tools to get us a deeper understanding, the those who have come before us, the theologians, pastors of renown, even if we go all the way back to, you know, the 1800s, the 1700s, these men who studied and labored and that God used to be able to do commentaries. We have Bible dictionaries, a lot of things. So we want to talk about that today. And I have some pastors that sent me some things. We have brothers online who are going to recommend some of their study materials because these are the resources that we need that we can be able to apply the word. Because even when we do an evangelism and we're talking to other faiths apologetics, we have to know the word. We have to know what we believe and why we believe it. And then, I've learned for myself in reading and studying, get the historical context of what was going on. Because I think it's better that we can understand what Paul was writing if we knew what was going on in the time that Paul was writing, the outside of the Word of God, because the historical, where is it laying historically and what was happening. There's a lot of things out there we have access to, but that's tonight is what we want to encourage every brother to put into his library to help him get a deeper understanding. I talk about it a lot here. I say about deep dive. This is taking taking a verse apart, a passage, and dissecting it and getting the full understanding of what's there, because it's so deep. Because the Word of God is so simple, but yet it's so much more in there, what was being written for our understanding. Amen? Amen. All right, so we're going to start off with a couple of, first we're going to start with study Bibles. We're going to start with study Bibles. So I'm going to go down the list here, and there's some of the brothers on the line. And we're going to recommend, because the study Bible, there's so much to it. I'm going to turn it over real quick. I'm going to come back. But Pastor Larry Watkins, can you hear me, sir?
Yes, Deacon, I can hear you. How are you, sir?
I'm wonderful, brother. Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm going to start with you, brother. A study Bible. Two things. Why do you feel it's important, and recommend the study Bible that a brother can get? Or purchase, I'm sorry. Yeah, I got to check my English. But, go buy one. That's what I'm saying. Amen?
A study Bible is going to give you some expanded information on the scripture that you read. Most Bibles that you get only give you the particular scripture that is written, and it does not expound on it. It does not elaborate. It does not give you anything. It may give you a little history in the beginning of the book to tell you what the pull of the writer and what the writer was trying to convey and so forth. But when it comes down to the individual scriptures, there really is no follow-up or expanding of that scripture. A study Bible is going to expand those scriptures for you. It's going to help you to understand what the writer is trying to say, what the scripture is trying to convey. It'll even give you a little bit of history as to what is going on at the time, and it will give you some other references that you can go at that compare or interlink with the scripture that you're reading. Now, when you look at a good study Bible, you can get a study Bible in the version of your choice, whichever version you want. Now, some of the ones that I recommend are the number one, the New King James. The reason why I say the New King James, because it comes without the these, the thous, and the heretofores, and whether theirs, and all of that stuff. And it kind of says it the same thing that the King James says, just without the these and the thous and stuff in it. The other version is the NIV, because the NIV expands a little bit and gives you a little bit better understanding, and also the Revised Standard Version. And the reason why I said the Revised Standard Version was many times when they go back to translate these texts, they go back to the Greek version of the Bible or whatever the Bible was at that time. The Revised Standard Version went back to the original scrolls, the Dead Sea Scrolls and all of those things, to revise, to create their version. And it has some textual differences that can help you in your study time. But a good study Bible is going to expand things for you so that you get a better understanding and even perk your knowledge, perk your interest to make you want to dig a little deeper to get a better understanding of what the scripture says. What do you think, sir?
Amen, man. I appreciate that, what you're saying, because you're right. And that's the biggest thing that I agree with you were saying too. It helps you for what we call a deeper dive, to be able to go into the scripture, to get more, to pull more out of it. But one thing I do want to say to you, bro, you know, you were saying different. Okay, we got translation, and then we have, what's the word I want? Because you said translation. You said the New King James, the NIV, and the last one you said was the RSV?
RSV, yes, Revised Standard Version.
Yeah, the Revised Standard Version. So those are, I wanted to be clear with the brothers who may not be familiar. Those are translations. So, I mean, they come in study Bible forms, because I have one of the ones that I was going to talk about tonight was the ESV Bible, and that's English Standard Version, because you have a lot of different, it's translation, but you're right, there's more commentary, and I think that's important, because, you know, there's so much scholarship out there. See, that's the thing about where we are and what we have available to us. We have more scholarship now than maybe our parents or grandparents had in their faith. It doesn't make our faith or their faith less or ours more, but I think we have a greater opportunity for greater understanding to be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. Because right now the scripture is being challenged, the Christian faith is being challenged, and we have to be, we have to have an intellectual response to what people say about what scripture's saying. And again, for the understanding, because the King James, when I first got saved, I had a King James, went through the King James, memorized the King James, studied the King James. But, you know, there's a lot of people struggle with that. You know, then we have people who just, that's all they know is this King James. But they came with these other translations to make it easier for us in this culture, Western culture, to understand it. And the other, and so, because also with the King James, there's a lot of, again, cultural, societal, in those times, the words they use, that they translated it. And these other translations help, because like I believe you mentioned it, like the NIV, it goes back to the Greek text. The what's it called? The I can't think of it. It's just on the tip of my tongue. I had it in my notes and I can't find it. The Septuagint, the Hebrew Bible that was translated to Greek and then from Greek to English. So it went from original Hebrew to Greek and then to English for the Old Testament. But it's a lot there going on. That was scholarship that was done, and I say, you know, the brothers, these are the opportunities we have to take advantage of, the scholarship, the intellectual. But deeper understanding, it's about deeper understanding, you know, and our faith is based on what do we believe, why we believe it, and how we can understand to a place where we now can share it with someone when we evangelize. We can study it for better understanding. We can all, when we come together, we can pull all that's in the scripture out to help each other understand a particular verse or passage. Amen? All right, hold on, brother. I got one brother here on the line. Praise the Lord, brother. Your last four numbers are 7578. Good evening.
Good evening. This is Elder Frederick Williams. How are you?
I'm good, brother. How you doing? Good to hear from you. Thank you for calling in and giving us some of your valuable time tonight.
All right. No problem, man.
Amen.
All right.
So what do you want to share, brother? We're talking about Bibles right now. And we don't study Bibles. We're going to touch on some other things. But what do you say about study Bibles?
They are essential for the believer. They're essential for those that want to be good students of the word, and to learn them. Some of the reasons that I've used them and continue to use them is cross references, just like Pastor Watkins said. Study Bibles give you more than just the translation of the Bible, the scriptures themselves, but there's also a good study Bible is going to give you some cross references. Many study Bibles will also help guide a reader, especially those that are new converts, like give you a header of the passage or what's being talked about. I find that headers were very helpful for me to sort of understand where a story is derived or what's actually taking place, or it sort of gives you very little background, but it helps you, you know, put a marker on the page without, you know, marking the page essentially. And then other Bibles may have special markings, you know, that may exemplify like where a prophecy is or help you know where a promise is. For example, you have not just a study Bible, but a red letter Bible versus a non-red letter Bible, the red letters representing the words of Christ. So for those that are reading New Testament, many times, you know, if you're new or you're unfamiliar with the sayings of Christ, it's easy to distinguish what Jesus said and what he did not say in the New Testament. And then, you know, there's also in the back of the study Bible, one of the main ones that I've used for, I won't give you my age now, but more than 2.5 decades. It also has some notes in the back of them, and then they may have their own small concordance or a encyclopedia index in the back of them. So having a good study Bible can essentially give you a lot of what you need to know, or, you know, a lot of places to go cross-reference. And it may actually explain. One in particular that I used early on was the Life Application Bible. I really enjoyed that, just because study Bibles, a good study Bible is also going to give you an intro to the book, and then it's going to give you some historical context. It's going to tell you who the writers are. There's so much that they're going to tell you. It's going to tell you the audience, which is important, right, because we read the Bible present day, but it wasn't written present day, so the context of the scriptures is so important, and without a study Bible, it'd be hard to really understand the text, the meat of the text, or the background of the text, to bring it up to speed into our day and time.
Amen, sir.
I have recommendations, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. All right.
No, I was.
But we're coming back around. Go ahead. Hold on. I got it. I know you got so much there, but I want to touch on what you said. The Life Application Bible. That's one of the Bibles also that when I first came to faith, that again, it pulls out with the scripture. It gives you application of the scripture, and to me that also is a good Bible, because when we read it, and then how do we apply it to our life? Gives those examples. It gives those insights. It shares. If you don't have a study Bible, I'll say this, brothers. You should have one. You should get one, because I'm telling you, it will illuminate the scriptures in a way that you have a deeper understanding. Because we call, you know, right, we're called to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the word. And it's through, you know, I want to say this too for my brothers out there who I know what you're thinking. The Holy Spirit has a lot to do with it. But we also have the practical of, as we understand it, the Spirit will give us understanding. You know, so it's a combination of it. Because, again, these people know me, and I've said this a lot of times. I don't judge a man by how much Bible he knows, how much he's memorized, what he can recite. I also want to see his life and how he's living. Because that's the real determination of, do you believe the word? If you apply the word, and some of us, like I said, the King James, you can struggle with it, but using these other translations and the resources, see, that's the thing when we talk about these study Bibles, that these are resources for our edification, for our growth. Because I'll share this, and I'm going to come back to you, Pastor Marcus. You know, my first pastor told me that, you know, we study the word of God, not to see how smart or spiritual we are. We study to be able to teach. And if we are in it now, if that's a, and if that's our position, no matter it has it then it has nothing. Let me I have so much here I want to say to the brothers out there, because I don't let title and responsibility as pastor, elder, deacon, that's not necessary what we talk. We talk about as a man of God, I should study to be able to teach someone, because Jesus gave us the call, the commandment to go forth and make disciples, not converts and not church members. So every believer, and especially every man, has to get to the place where he can teach others. You were ministering and teaching our wives, our children, and again, in our men's fellowship, we come together to understand and to reason over out through the word, so that we all could be hold each other accountable and get the understanding. So there's so much to it, and I believe, you know, it's something that when we bring to the table, we have a study Bible that we can help one another. We help the body of Christ, and we help to grow in the understanding of our own faith and have the boldness that the church is historically known for when it comes to the gospel. Remember, this church, this folk out there who died just for a word. I used to read a book about martyrs, and there's people who just had one chapter of Romans because the Bibles were illegal. But the whole the church, they just taught out of Romans chapter 1 or 2, and these stories of their, you know, sacrificing their lives, hiding in caves to get the word of God into them that their faith might be encouraged. So the word of God and understanding in the word of God, I think, is important. But we here in the Western culture, as men of God, right where you are you spending time in the word that you might grow in the grace and knowledge and be the man that God has called you to be? And that's not necessarily leadership title. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later in this episode. Amen. 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 I have one more brother I want to bring in real quick. Praise the Lord, brother. Your last four numbers are 3843. Good evening. How are you?
Hello, Deacon. Can you hear me?
Yes, he did. Praise the Lord.
Elder West.
Hey, Elder West. How you doing, brother? Good to see you. Good to hear from you. Thank you for joining me.
Yes,
what
sir.
What do you say,
sir?
What Bible? What kind of Bible can you recommend?
I would definitely recommend a New King James and an Amplified. Those are my two favorite ones, because when I first came to Christ, I had the old King James, and it was a struggle because, like some of the other people were saying, you had the these and thous, and I didn't know what they were talking about. And someone, I was just sitting here trying to remember who introduced me to the Amplified, and when I got it, I loved it. So I would study using the King James and the Amplified side by side. And I agree with everything else the other people were saying, the other men were sharing about, as far as you can go to the back of the books. And for me, the Amplified, it really does amplify the scriptures. It may take you 3 weeks to read one verse because there's so much in between there. I'm just saying that jokingly, metaphorically. But it really does expound a lot on the scriptures. And that it really helped me as a young teenager when I came to Christ. And so those are my two favorite ones. And I still use them to this day.
Amen, amen. And you're right. I remember Amplified too. And you're right. I think the Amplified, I would say this to the brothers out there. Amplified Bible is a good Bible, I think, for teenagers or, you know, young adults. Because like you said, it takes some of it'll take you a while to read a passage, because on some places it expands it out, gives the word meaning and context.
Yes.
And it's something that, you know, it reveals something to you. And I remember the Amplified. I'm glad you said that. Amen. I'm writing that down right now, Amplified. I'm adding that to the list. Amen. Amen. So, Pastor Rogers, let me come back around to you, bro. When we talk about, because the next thing I want to talk about is again, this is about growth. And this is about, let me say it like this. This is about doing more, putting more time in to who we are as men of God, that we study for everything else. Let me say this. We study and we put time in to develop ourselves in all other areas of our life, for sports, job, education. But some of this is what are we spending time and money on for our spiritual growth, that we can be the church to fulfill the purpose that God, first of all, the purpose that God created us for, and the purpose that God brought us into salvation for, pulled us out of the mess that we were in to be his child and to be the church. And now, what are we doing that we can now come to full maturity? What do you say, Pastor Walker?
I think that, number one, the reason that we study the Bible, and you were talking about it earlier, it is for teaching, it is for evangelism, but number one, the first reason that we study the Bible is so that we know how to live, so that we understand what this thing called Christianity is. What does God want us to do? How does he want us to live? And if we are to be men of Christ, then we must understand what the statutes are, what the principles are, and what is the requirement of living this life. And it's necessary that we go back to the book to get information that we need to live our lives. Now, I've used this reference before, is that if you go and you get a television, and you get a Samsung television, and that television begins to have issues, you can't program it, whatever it is, you don't go and get a Toshiba manual or a different manual to program a Samsung television. You go and get a Samsung a manual. Well, if we are to figure out how we're to work this thing called life, then we need to go back to the manual that helps us to understand, number one, where life came from, number two, how it was created, and then number three, who is the creator of it all. And then we can, after we understand those three things, then we can understand how to live this life. And it's just as important to study this book as it is to, if you're playing football, to study your playbook, or if you are looking at stats for your fantasy team, or if you're looking at any other thing for any other sport, you would go and look for that information. Well, the Bible is that information for us. It tells us how to live. It tells us how to be men of God. It tells us how to live this life in a higher standard, which is called being holy, than the others around us. What do you think, sir?
Amen, brother. I thank you for that. And again, man, we're here. It's just Christian News Talk. We want to encourage the brothers in their Christian walk and encourage them in the things of God. And that's the focus here, because I think I was listening recently to, I'm going to share this, and then I'll Pastor Williams, I'm going to come to you next. But I want to share this because I was listening to a man, a preacher who was preaching a sermon about the weakness and the frailty of the Western Christianity, because we are Bible illiterate. And I listened to what he was saying and the things he was saying, because it doesn't seem like that people struggle because they're illiterate into what the literacy of understanding what the Bible says. And that's why I think it's important that with the different translations and different study Bibles, we have an opportunity to increase our understanding and understanding and application of the Word of God. Because what all the brothers are saying here is the Word of God that's going to convict us, that's going to keep us, that's going to give us direction and guidance. And if we're not spending time in it, if we're spending time in a lot of other things, you know, but every man is going to be different, because I understand, you know, the brothers go to school, go to college, training. We do a lot of things for a lot of others. We do things for our career. We do things for jobs. We do things that we enjoy. We gain the knowledge of sports and teams and stats. But my question to you, Lord, in listening to this episode, is to what are we doing to grow in the faith that we say we believe? That now we have direction to be able to apply the word, not just be hearers of the word,
going every Sunday and sitting in the church, sitting in the pews, because I'm going to say this, because I want to put this out there, because I want to challenge the brothers out there. I came to Christ in the mid-90s, and because of a lot of reasons and technologies, from when I was going to church in the 90s where everybody had a Bible in church on Sunday, I don't see people bringing Bibles to church on Sunday. I see people on tablets and things, but, you know, whatever. But then I also see ministries that put the scriptures up on the big screen. That wasn't something that we did when I first came to faith. I don't know about the other brothers. I'll get your insights on that. But everyone had a Bible on their lap and was following what he was reading. So, you know, we can blame technology or what are we really doing? Because even if you have that, honestly, in your heart, are you taking notes of what's being preached so that you can go back and study the word that was given to you on Sunday to find out if I'm just saying, if this is the faith we believe and we want to grow, it's going to take more than a 1 hour, 45-minute sermon and just say, we got it, and walk out the door. Pastor Williams, I'm going to come to you, sir. We're going to talk about... Well, I'll let you respond to that, and then I want you to tell me about concordances and how those have helped you, and what type of concordances, what kind of you use.
All right. So, man, I'll make it real short with my response on what you've already shared. Studying the Bible is so important. I mean, even when you talk about, I grew up in a time where you carried the Bible with you. I am okay with technology and evolving, but I wouldn't want to have a relationship with my wife if I couldn't touch her, if I couldn't put my hand, physically and be in contact. And why do I say that? Because it's just like the pages of the Bible. Our bodies have a way of muscle memory. So when you have your Bible and you can touch the pages and you can flip from one to another, mentally and conceptually, like, you'll remember where that is. If it's in the front, if it's in the back, even just the weight of the paper means a lot. Like, okay, it's weird, but, you know, you just have a relationship. And those of us, and you've seen the old mothers in the church, they carry a Bible from birth to death. And when they go, they got ripped out pages, but they still holding on to it. And, you know, partly because that is, there's a relationship with it, and it's not the pages themselves, but it signifies their relationship with God and how important that is, you know. So I feel like, you know, studying the Bible also just puts us in the right relationship with Christ and to better understand him and know us, especially men, our position and our purpose in God. It's important that we know the then, the now, and what he's calling for the future. So... moving to the concordance, man, I mean, a concordance, that helped me so much. I mean, I use my concordance, the paper one, and I use a software now that also has concordances, and there's online sources that you can use a concordance. So rather it's in your hand, online, or whatever, or a program, they're helpful because words, if you want to study, look up a word. Maybe the Lord has given someone, especially new converts, you hear them all the time, well, you know, this word keeps sticking out with me. What does that mean? Or even a seasoned folks, a word stands out, but you don't know where it is and what it means throughout the Bible. So having the concordance really helps you just go scripture for scripture, take a word, and just see all of where my scriptures are, all of where the verses are, and sort of give you like a prelude of what it may be talking about. On what the scripture is actually speaking about, so forth and so on. So that is my take on the concordance. And I actually use the Strong's, my hardback is the Strong's exhaustive concordance of the Bible. And I've probably had this maybe, again, a couple of decades and still use it.
Amen, a couple of decades, amen. And, you know, I like what you said, because you said that muscle memory. That's the thing I remember. That's the thing, because after, when you have your Bible, your paper Bible, you know when the pastor say go to Galatians, somehow your fingers just go to you can flip it and find it. First Peter, First John, Galatians, even the Old Testament, because right now we got a generation who don't need those who couldn't find the Old Testament book. If the pastor, got to give them page numbers and give them extra time to go to the index. But I'm just kidding. But that muscle matters. if you have flipped your Bible, if you have flipped your Bible back and forth, you break that spine and your Bible just opens up to stuff. You can go to Psalms. You can find Psalms. You can find the 103rd Psalm, the 51st Psalm, in Proverbs. And all that is, you flip into your Bible, and that thing is loosened up, and that's your right. And that's part of then, old school, we would highlight, put notes in the things on the side. The margins, you write notes in the Bible, all these things. I'm just saying, I got saved late in life, so I was already in the 90s, and this is still how people were doing it and how I was shown, and this is how you do it, because even when you keep up, because even as you read for yourself, and you just, a word stands out at you, and you can write something, God gives you something, or you could, you're looking for it. The other thing, we didn't mention this when we talked about Bibles, is good study Bibles have cross-references. For those who don't know and for those people, this is also a good thing about study Bibles because, again, whatever the theme of the passage that you're reading, it'll give you a cross-reference to where else it's reinforced because we talk about scripture upon scripture. And a good study Bible gives you the cross-reference where that same topic or subject is talked about somewhere else in scripture. Find out what Paul said. Find out what Peter said, or find out what Jesus said, and then what Paul said about it, and then what Peter or John said about it in other places. And that's another good thing. Pastor, Elder West, I'm going to come to you, sir. What do you feel about concordance and how you encourage the brother to deport to having one of those? Would you have a story, testimony, or of how a concordance saved your life? What do you say, sir?
I remember the I think that was my second purchase that I've ever bought. I take that back. After I came to Christ, I think I bought the King James, and again I was struggling with that. Like I said earlier, then I got the Amplified, and I love it. And someone introduced me or told me about the Vine Concordance, and when I got it, it was the size of a phone book. And if you remember, I mean those things were big and heavy. And the words are small, and you had to go through that, but it had every single word in the scripture. So it was really a helpful tool. Nowadays, you can get, I think one of the brothers mentioned you have the software version of it. But, yeah, concordance is essential because, again, if you're doing a study and depends on how deep you want to get and you want to look up the meaning of a word, whether it's in the Hebrew or the Greek, you can just pull up a strong concordance, find a reference number and look it up and get the full meaning of the word, whether, again, if it's in Hebrew or Greek. And, it's great. And for me, I think I got the Vines Expository Dictionary, and then after I got that, then that's when I found out about the concordance. And I thought, at first when I was going to the Christian bookstore, I thought it was just going to be like a regular book. But when I got there, I saw this big old giant thing, book the size of a phone book. And I remember being heavy. But it was great. It's definitely one of my nowadays we do everything with software online. You can just look up the word. But yeah, I would definitely recommend good strong concordance.
Amen. Pastor Watkins, what are you saying about concordances and you're going to transition us to Bible dictionaries? What do you say, sir?
When I first started reading the Bible, there were verses that I would remember, but I didn't know the exact spot where that verse was. I knew some of the words in the verse. I knew it paraphrased, but I didn't know it exactly word for word. When I found out that a concordance can find that word and then give you a reference of scriptures where this word is found, oh man, it enlightened things for me because now I could say, okay, I know that the Bible says that you should have the faith of a mustard seed. Well, where can I find mustard? Let's look up mustard. And it had every word that was in the exhaustive, had every word that was in the Bible and you could look up that word and then also find the reference where that word was and then go find that verse. It was excellent for me because I didn't always remember chapter and verse. I didn't always remember where this was located. I knew it. I'd hidden it in my heart, but I didn't always know the location. And the concordance was the first step to help me find those verses and find those things in the Bible so that if I needed to reference something in a conversation, or I needed to reference something for a study, or I need to reference something for a teaching, I could go to that concordance, find that reference, and then find that scripture. As my study grew and I grew in the ministry, then it became a little more effective to me because now I could look at the difference in the words, the Hebrew and the Greek. And this came into play when I was looking at different translations of the Bible, because in one translation, it would say this word. And then in another translation, it would say this word. And then in another translation, it would say a different word. And I was like, well, why is there a difference in the three words for the same scripture? And I didn't understand the differences. Well, the Strong's exhaustive helped me to understand what the root meaning of that verse was in the Greek for the New Testament and in the Hebrew for the Old Testament. And then it allowed me to see other verses where that particular word was used, and it gave me a better understanding of what the writer is trying to convey in that particular thing. The other thing that it did, and this is as I got deeper in my study and got deeper into my biblical exegesis or my understanding of scripture, was that it gave you the etymology of the word, its origin. Where did this come from? What did it mean? So when you look up the word power, you saw the word in Greek, dynamos, which means where the word dynamite comes from. And you get a better understanding of what kind of explosive power we have as Christians. These are the things that made the Strong's Concordance so invaluable to me, whether, again, it was in paper form or whether it was online. It made it invaluable in my study, and it was one of the things that I had to have in order to study my Bible because it just opened up so many different things. What do you think, B?
Amen, sir. You know, I appreciate that because it's two words. You had mustard and understanding. And I real quick, I flipped through here. The word understanding is used 153 times in Scripture. So there you go. Amen. But, you know, when we talking about concordances and the Greek and the Hebrew, I think that's important that we can go there and the words are broken down. Pastor Williams, I want to come to you, sir. When you say, what do you say when you're talking about the concordance? Because I think along with that, it helps because there's power in the word, but we also have to remember that the words that we use then don't necessarily, we're not getting the, we sometimes put our meaning on the word. And I think how does the concordance, how would you say the concordance helps us to get the understanding of what Paul was writing? Because we sometimes, we'll put our Western 21st century meaning to a word, And we miss what Paul was trying to say to us. What do you say, sir?
I absolutely, totally agree. And I actually, not only with just the concordance, but you can, in helping study the Bible, there's also non-biblical literature. I mean, history itself supports the Bible. So not only does going through the scriptures, understanding it, it helped me to also go externally to look at maps or look up words and define out a better meaning. And what I mean by that is, for example, the Old Testament or the Bible speaks about honey. And from recent voyage to Israel and reading, honey in the United States is by bees and pollen. Honey that speaks of it in the word when you do it, it's about dates, which grows on trees and similar to palm trees. So digging and using a concordance and understanding what something means in the Greek or the Hebrew helping better understand even the context of what Scripture is. When we talk about Paul and when he goes to Rome or he goes to Corinth or just even Ephesus, it just sort of helped me get my boundaries, not just a word study, but geographically it helped me get there. It helped me have more of a visual aid to go with what I didn't see. And this is, you know, pre-internet and all that other stuff. Like, you really have to go find it in a book. Whereas now you can go online. I mentioned the Bible software. It's called Logos Bible Software. And even in that you just type in the word and you just go there. So paper, a little longer process, but you get the meat out of what you need. Online, you can, you know, and for some of the guys who don't have all these books that we're talking about, the big book, I think it was Pastor West or Elder West that said, yeah, it's a big book and it's heavy. It's about, I'd say, at least 7 pounds if you're carrying it. But you can go online, like BibleStudyTools.com. You can easily search the concordance. You can type in these things and find them and use them. I still say there's nothing like having your hands on it, though. So concordance has been very helpful for what the Scripture may introduce, but it's not really clear on what it's implying. Like you said, when Paul is teaching or he's in a certain place or having conversation with a certain church or geographical location.
Amen. You know, and you're right. You mentioned it too. That's good. That's the other thing we're talking about also, the concordance and in the Bible dictionary. That's the other tool that I want to encourage the brothers to search out. There's two kinds. I know of two kinds. If you brothers know any other, please, you know, interject. But I know the Vine Dictionary, Bible Dictionary, and the Smith Bible Dictionary. And when we say dictionary, you know, it's not like the Webster's or the one we use in school. These dictionaries give you the context, cultural meanings of things. When we read about talent in the Bible and even the 30 pieces of silver that they gave Judas, what did that mean within that culture? You know, what was the talent? What was all the measurements, especially in the Old Testament, the measurements that God gave Moses on what was given, why was certain sacrifices given, what did the dove, the lamb, the ox, you know, there was meaning to all those things. And when you go into the dictionaries, you can get a historical and cultural, it fills in the blank. It gives a depth to which when you read Scripture. And I think that's the other thing, when we have a greater understanding of what was going on then, because we can read about drink offering, grain offering, meat offering, all these offerings in Leviticus, but they won't really mean nothing to us because it's a cultural context. You know what I'm saying? So that's the two I'm thinking about right now that I know and that I have is a Vines and a Smith. And again, these are just tools. And let me say this, when we talk about the software, I understand software. I understand Bible.com. I understand what's the other one? Bible Tools, BibleStudy.com, all those. But what I'm telling you, it's nothing like having the paper, the book in front of you to be able to go through, to search it out. Like you said, but pre-internet, you know, you spend some time laboring through the word and reading the word. And again, being in it, I'm just saying, most of us, that's the way we learned how to study. Again, I go back to what we do in the world. And when we was in school, when we took on the class, we had to go into the textbooks. We had to go into the textbooks, find the answers, know how to use the textbooks, know how to find the solutions. Fact, you know, we in history class, we had to understand what was going on. It's the same thing when it comes to Scripture. There is a difference. The word I'm looking for, because with our hands, I can't think of the word right now, but when we're touching something and feeling it, it's different. You know, but that's part of who we are as human beings and how we learn and how we get accustomed to just using the pages. I would encourage the brothers out there. I know some of y'all got tablets and iPhones and laptops and notebooks and all that. But still, we talk about what tools should we have in our libraries that we could readily have access. if we don't have the internet, if our phones ain't on, that we could sit in a place and read through scripture and study and just the old-fashioned study. I don't know. Maybe I'm telling my age, but to go from book to book to connect and dot and see it, it's a way of learning. And it's a way of, again, as we're preparing to be able to bring the Word of God to life of people that we went into the dictionary. We understand what's going on in the culture and give a better understanding for ourselves and for others when we're talking about, when we're teaching, you know, when we're mentoring and discipling. And even when we come together in our men's fellowship, whenever we take a fellowship and we are focusing on a passage or we're reading a book together, we can bring more knowledge and understanding to the group for better understanding. That we're on one accord. That for a man that didn't see this, or a word could mean something that could help him better understand what's going on in the context, and then how he applies that to his life. So I think that's the thing, you know, with all of these tools, it's fine to have a tool, but how are we using the tool? That's the next thing I just wanted to share with you, because we have a lot of these books on our shelves, but now how are we using them? Are we using them to the fullest, to his glory, and to the expansion and our growth and understanding as men of God, so that we can be leaders in the home, in the church, and in the community? So that's what this whole episode was about, because it came to my heart, of the importance of us as men encouraging one another to be in the Word and then giving you some tools. I mean, if you wanted to be a home improvement guy, a carpenter, a plumber, electrician, you get a set of tools when you're in an apprenticeship program. They at least give you the basics, but as you grow and gain more skill and knowledge, you add more tools to your toolbox. And that's what this whole episode, I believe, was about. And to add more tools to your toolbox, knowing there's more out there for you that you now can also learn to handle the Word of God correctly. Because, again, the battle is with, we have false teachers out there, people are teaching heresy, people are putting, or whatever, twisting scripture, and there's so much of it. And the thing that I've learned too is that even those who are twisting scripture, it's not new. Because Paul and Peter, they had these problems. Jesus, they had these problems with false teachers coming along, trying to distract people and lead people astray. So the better we prepare ourselves, because nothing is going to be more important than the reaching of souls, ministering and discipling one another, to encourage one another in our things of God. Gentlemen, I'm going to go around the horn. I'm going to start with you, Elder West, and then Pastor Williams, and then Pastor Watkins. Your final thoughts, your final insight, and anything else you want to share with the brothers about the tools for their edification and for their growth. Starting with you, Elder West. And again, I appreciate you, gentlemen, for coming on and spending this time and sharing your insights and your experiences with the things, with the study materials that we want to recommend to the brothers. Elder West, what do you say, sir?
I would say to every man, get into the Word of God for yourself. Read the Word of God for yourself. Study the Word of God for yourself. That was one thing that was big with me, and I think all of us, we came to Christ pre-internet, so we were used to getting into, like you were saying, digging, getting, open up those Bibles and open up the concordances and trying to find the Word and trying to do certain things, studying or using references. But I would tell every man, get into the Word. The Word is essential. I think Pastor Watkins hit on the nail on the head earlier when he said that it's shown us how to live. It gives us God's thoughts, his mind, his heart, and it's the Word that we use that we can grow as men. So I would encourage every man to get into the Word of God, and thank God for technology. If, you know, you may be the type, you may not like to read, but, you know, we have an answer for that. You can get online and you can listen to the Word of God. You can go to YouTube.com, BibleGateway.com. They got even apps now that you can listen to the Word of God. So there's no excuse. You need to get into the Word of God for yourself.
Amen, brother. Amen. Okay, you know what? That audio book, some people say that's cheating, but I'm not going to judge no man. Pastor Williams, what do you say?
I'm going to say, if you're listening to it, read along with it. still buy your hard copy Bible. If you have a hard time reading, put the audio Bible on and you read along with it. And that really, for the person who's challenged, depending on whatever translation you prefer, there's a list of them that you can do. And, you know, my preference is something different than some. I like New Living Translation, but I'm not going to get into that. But find a translation that works. Figure out where you can read, what your reading skills are. If you need to online, do that. But I really think it's important, as Elder West said, before you read the word for anything else, you need to read it for yourself. Like, read it for yourself. This is your personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and understanding where you stand as a man and what we're called to do, and the purpose and the reason. These other study things are great. Maps, I'm going to add this because this is something that really helped me out, is understanding the difference between geographical locations now, present day, versus what they were old and in biblical days. That was really big for me. But at the end of the day, whatever God leads you to, and really be open to what the Holy Spirit gives you. If the Lord gives you a word, just a word, it may sound ordinary to you, that concordance is an awesome tool, because you can just go look it up and where is it, and get a better understanding. What, Lord, what are you saying? Even your Bible dictionary, get a true understanding, because if the Lord's giving you something, you can understand in present day, but it doesn't hurt. It's really good to learn it from where it was. I think it was the best thing that ever happened, is having a true desire to touch the pages before the electronics. I know we've all said it, so some of the guys are probably thinking we're like old heads, but there's nothing like having the go-to and being able to sit in a quiet space and just open it up and just let the Lord just pour in from these resources. Know your God, know your relationship with Him, and I think that these tools will just be life-changing. They've been life-changing for me. I'm hoping that they'll be the same for the brothers that are listening here as well. Go ahead.
Amen, brother. Amen. Again, brother, I appreciate you. Thank you for spending time with us and sharing your insights and wisdom, and I pray something to say to someone when you encourage them. Dr. Watkins, sir, what do you say?
I am a person that has a reading disorder. So the different ways that the Bible comes helped me to deal with my reading disorder. It helped me to better understand the Bible, whether it was listening to the Bible via the Bible on tape or audio, whether it was having that Bible played in my ears while I was sleeping from tape, having it on audio. I'm a techie, so having the websites was a welcome thing for me, because I could look at different things in different versions all at the same time without having to throw this book down, pick up another book, throw that book down. And the books, when you have a learning disability, books are sometimes intimidating to you, and that a program can help you to understand it better, or it's not so intimidating to pick up to look at a program and you don't see all of those pages. You don't see the intimidating book that's standing in front of you. So that being said, those are the things that were important to me as far as studying. I never knock anybody's study habits, because everybody studies things differently, and you never know what kind of disorder some people have and which way. But, you know, some people study with technology. Other people have to have the paper. But whatever best works for you. There's two things that we did not mention that I wanted to mention. That there is a book, there are books out there called How to Study the Bible. There's two in particular, one by Tim LaHaye and one by John MacArthur. These are excellent books if you're just starting out trying to study your Bible, trying to figure out, how do I study my Bible? What do I look for? Trying to note? What am I doing? All of these things, you know, this is important for you to understand. And the other thing is to always have a notebook with you when you're studying your Bible, so that you can make notes for yourself, so that you can write scriptures down and so that you can always go back and see them again. My pastor taught me, and the people that taught me in homiletics and everything else, which is the preparation of sermons, they said the more of your senses you get involved into studying the Bible, the more you remember and the more you can recall and recite. So these things helped me to be able to hide the word in my heart. It helped me to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. It also helped me to be able to have a reason for the hope that lies within me. So these are the things that I recommend, and those are my final thoughts. Thank you, Pastor West. Thank you, Elder Williams. It's a pleasure being here with you guys, and thank you, Deacon Carr, for the opportunity.
Amen, amen, brothers. And again, I appreciate you. Yeah, you closed my closing comments on those how to study your Bible books. But you're right. It was what, Tim LaHaye and John MacArthur, correct?
Correct. Tim LaHaye.
Amen, amen. Well, Tim LaHaye and John MacArthur, how to study your Bible. These are the things that we need as men of God. We have to get to a place where we're living the Word of God. We're teaching the Word of God. We're encouraging one another. We're supporting one another. We're holding each other accountable. And that's all that we try to do here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, and why we have men, the importance of men's ministry, so that when men come together and reason through the Word, to study, to encourage one another, and to understand that we all going, we have more things in common than we have different, and we're all going through the same thing. We are married to different wives, but marriage is the same. The standard for marriage is the same for all of us. We just married to different women and just know how to do that thing different on how we raise our children. Our children, we have children of different personalities, but the Word of God is our blueprint and our benchmark for the raising and ministering and mentoring of our children. How we serve in the church, how we treat one another in the body of Christ. The Word of God is that standard. So I just wanted to encourage, through the Word of God and through His Holy Spirit, this is how the church is going to be built. This is how we're going to fulfill the call and purpose on our lives as men, as church members, as members, as leaders in the home and in the church, and how we're going to help, and how we're going to have ministries to grow. Again, you know, I just want to encourage the brothers out there. The time is coming to gather your men together, spend time together in fellowship, spend time together in the Word, spend time in getting to know with each other. Who's in your circle of influence? That's always what I always say. Issues Christian Men's Talk, and for our man up events, who's in our circle? And if we don't have a circle, we need to become part of a circle, because we are not called to be long rangers, and we can't grow. We can't see how much God is changing and growing us unless we have other people to witness that growth and for to see how we are acting and treating people different because of what Christ has done for us. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father God, I say thank you right now. Thank you for these brothers who joined us tonight. Thank you for those who listened online. I thank you for those who participated. And something was said that would encourage a man in his walk in Christ, in his growth, in his sanctification, and growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for what you're doing. We ask you to continue to cover us, protect us, and guide us, and direct us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Brothers, again, I appreciate you so much, gentlemen, for being part of the program. And as always, I'm praying for you and your families. For those that are listening, we invite you to join us on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. We are live Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. If you would like to also join the program in one of our recording sessions, reach out to me. If you got this through a text, you can text me back. I can give you the schedule when we do our different recordings, but we are live on every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. You can call in at 646-668-2636. You can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/DeaconThomasFarr and listen to the rebroadcast of this show and archive of all of our past shows. And also we're on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk on Facebook. God bless you, brothers. Thank you again.
God bless.
Thank you.
God bless.
Good night.